religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour with tonight's guest on this August the 21st on the West Coast, now August the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to send out a special shout-out to all the people in the U.S. military around the world who may be listening live or on an archive to blogtalkradio.com or Wind Talkers Radio Network. And if you're not listening live, you need to do that, and you need to participate in this show. I want to encourage you to do that. I know it might be difficult for some because of the hours that you work, but certainly if you're not doing anything and you find something interesting and can contribute something interesting to the show, by all means, we encourage your participation. On some past shows on Evident Footprints, we have done some rather in-depth studies of some unusual circumstances or not-so-mainstream science. And tonight's guest and I have been doing this pretty much every Friday since this show began airing over 2 years ago. He has been my regular guest for a number of reasons. Number one, he is an established scientist. He is an incredible inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. He has been my co-host when we've had technical problems. He has, without hesitation, taken over the show, knowing that somehow, somewhere, sometime, someplace, I will return back to the airwaves. And he's always done an admirable job. We actually switched roles a few weeks ago, and he played the part of host, and I played the part of guest, and we went down the rabbit hole into the Three Stooges Go to Washington Part 7. And so, with that, now I'm getting a message here, Seth, just so you know, we have music still streaming through this show. I'm not hearing it on my end, but the listeners are hearing it. So if you can pay attention, we'll allow it to slide. But check into that just to make sure. It is a phenomenon that I noticed. Now, that said, going back to tonight's guest, we are going to delve into some spiritual issues, but sort of from the same perspective of some past shows that we did recently, and that is in regard to personal power and examining it in light of the fact that there are those that would take away all of our personal power to make it their own. And tonight's guest, as I said, is a scientist inventor and our good friend, resident science advisor at Evident Footprints, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Don. How are you this evening?
Good. We're having all kinds of multi-dimensional phenomenon go on in the in the stream. Voices, music, one interfering with the other, and it's as though there's a struggle even with the airwaves and this information for power. So how ironic that this should occur at the outset of the show. But We were going to go into a couple of things in detail, and I asked you to have a look at a piece of work that was published anonymously back in 1997, Servers of the Divine Plan. And we were going to talk about this in the context of why some of us are here and what's going on in the world. And the intention would be for us to basically bring some sanity to what's going on and really discern, perceive what role we are to play. In other words, what is our life's purpose and what agreements might we have made before we came here? So I know you got to look at part of that, and I'd like you to share some of your thoughts about the body of work as a literary piece, what you found.
Well, actually, I find it to be a very interesting presentation. The concept is not new to me, okay, but the some of the verbiage is. The idea of these individuals coming here for God's purpose, you might say, is certainly an old concept. Calling them servers was new to me. But other than that, I mean, it's just a question of titles. I certainly am in resonance with the overall theory, and frankly, I believe most all of it. And I say that not just because it's intelligently written and reasonably presented, but it's just too much, it rings true, you know, in my own life to a very vast extent, and to the lives of others who I'm sure are in roles of that capacity. So I think that touching on it tonight probably makes a lot of sense, and it's a good way of serving the same message in a different package, you might say. But some of the concepts that were presented allow us to expand a little bit on our own previous messages and to perhaps, you know, present a different perspective or the same ideas in greater depth. What's inescapable, at least in my opinion, is that there is something on the horizon. There's a big change coming, and it's coming regardless of who's running the show, who wants it to be here, who doesn't want it to be here. You know, you're now dealing with real power, and it's coming.
Yes, I appreciate that viewpoint. In fact, those are my exact sentiments and why I had basically suggested that we consider tackling the general premise of this piece of work. That it's anonymous certainly implies that no one is seeking retribution for having put the message out, or no one is seeking fame let's say financial compensation in any way. It's just a pure message, and it rings of the truth. It has that vibration of the truth, and that those that read this piece of work with an open mind may discover that many of their innermost thoughts that they've never shared with anyone are contained in what is written here. And so I'm inclined to agree with you. We could get very deep in this. It is very deep. And when they say servers of the divine plan, they're not talking about internet servers. Okay. But let's make that clear right there. They're talking about service, but it's not slavery. Certainly that if it meant server in the sense of a slave, it would have said slavery of the divine plan, would it not?
Well, probably, but the beautiful part of the whole deal is that there are loving beings who give up their well-earned manifestation in a higher realm to come here and attempt to do good. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, because you are literally taking a big step down into the murkiness of our world. And they put themselves in a certain amount of peril in doing this, because even though they're advanced beings from a spiritual point of view, this place has the ability to seduce and degenerate almost everyone that's here. And so it's not inconceivable that you could lose rank in volunteering for a mission of good to the planet of sorrows, which is what our world is known as throughout the system. Mm-hmm. And but all of that having been said, I think it's pretty obvious that that these individuals are here of their own volition. They are volunteers, and they probably hail from some pretty advanced worlds. I don't necessarily mean technologically advanced, although that's also possible, but certainly worlds that vibrate at a higher spiritual rate than old Mother Earth does right now.
Yes.
And so their mission, of course, is to achieve or to help achieve exactly what you and I have been talking about, and that is the ultimate raising of the average consciousness of man. Because the higher we can get that rate before the great harvest, the more souls will move on to the more advanced realm and be separated out from those who refuse to change.
Mm-hmm. Just for a frame of reference, on the basis of some past shows that you and I did, Jim, for the new listeners that we may have somewhere on the planet, we've talked about personal power. We've talked about the official power that runs the planet, that makes the determinations as to how many people can be born into a family, or what people have to eat or drink, or what type of papers are required to legitimize their being here, although not all have to suffer those same consequences. And I wasn't intending to go into the presidency of the United States, but since I brought it up, that's one clear-cut example of this set of rules that everyone is basically being forced to comply, and that the universe itself has rules, and that it has grid patterns, we could call them, and they would be in the realm of consciousness or multidimensionality just as easily as they will be into the forces that cause a planet to spin or to take on a certain trajectory within the solar system or the galaxy or the universe. And the minuscule nature of this planet in respect to the universe sort of demonstrates by example or metaphor how tiny we are just in comparison to this planet. So imagine how infinitesimally smaller we are in that respect with the universe, and yet we play an important role, as does the planet. And as we sort out these things, we're talking about things that you're not going to hear on mainstream, so don't expect to hear it on mainstream. They do not get into discussions that deal with the raising of consciousness. It's about controlling the consciousness and lowering it at every effort, at every event that we witness on the boob tube. So we're not speaking about what has been programmed for us. What we're talking about is seeing what is available to us. And so I turn it over to you now.
Well, okay, and the interesting thing is that getting back to the idea of credentials, or whatever you want to call it, when you are discussing the spiritual categories, I think it's very interesting to realize that we had talked about in the past the idea that if extraterrestrials exist, why don't they come down, show themselves, make a big presentation and assist us to clean house here? And we had talked about the fact that most probably it's because there truly is a prime directive which says that advanced beings should not interfere with the progress of lesser worlds other than to observe them in their development and perhaps intercede so that they don't annihilate themselves. But other than that, they kind of keep their noses out of it. So this whole idea of server is really kind of very interesting, because when a person volunteers to come here through normal channels and does so by spiritually arranging for himself to take on a body fabricated of earthly materials, for all intents and purposes, he has kind of found a loophole in the cosmic law, or maybe that's being a little bit too dramatic. But anyway, it's a circumvention of the prime directive in the sense that by his own will, he decides to come here, and he does it legally, so to speak, by being born of earthly parents and assuming a body made from the elements of earth and undergoing an earthly existence until he runs the course of his life. So in that respect, not only are these people totally legitimate who decide to come here, and there are probably quite a few of them, according to this article, because the amount of work that needs to be done in so many directions and so many fields against so much evil is almost inconceivable. And these people just keep coming. Now, it stands to reason that this is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on for centuries. And, of course, Earth has needed help for a very long time. The resident evil that seems to be clinging so tenaciously to this planet certainly didn't just crop up overnight. It's been here for eons, and it, in itself it's probably of extraterrestrial origin, whether it's a whether it's the influence of a very negative race like the reptilians that we talked about, or whether it's a super consciousness that has decided to manifest here and run the show, so to speak. And we've talked about the possibility of Satan being a true spiritual entity. Regardless of what it is, it's been here a long time. The effects are well entrenched, and it's going to take a great deal of effort from many, many souls to turn the situation around.
Yes, I agree. And those that are carrying out this evil purpose on this planet for, well, let's just use the term for the subjugation of the masses, they are fully aware that there is a change going on, but they won't admit it to us. What they do is they ramp up all of their programs simultaneously, especially with this awakening that's occurring that you referred to. This is happening. It's not happening as quickly as those who are awake would like it to happen, but certainly it must be happening in a divine way. After all, this body of work is called Servers of the Divine Plan. So this is the plan of the highest order, and it's likely the direct dichotomy or opposite of what we have down here on this planet, in terms of who's running the show, or who is looking to take over the show. Some aspect of this seems to not yet be totally complete. And
Sure. I mean, and not only that, Don, but, you know, I'll tell you another thing. All of the ancient documents that more or less relate to similar concepts and similar happenings warn us that this is not a new phenomenon. It's not a once-in-a-blue-moon type thing, although it does have a very long periodicity. But, you know, this type of phenomenon, a change in consciousness and a change in the overall structure of the planet, occurs periodically. And 25,000 years, which is one great year, one precessional year, and also 75,000 years are two pretty well known periods that need to be considered in the history of these events. And if you go back through time, the realization that these things have happened before, we actually find examples of it. I mean, you can talk about places like Lemuria, Atlantis, Pan, you know, and then Tiwanaku, you know, and then the more modern stuff, which even brings us into the Mayan era. They've all had their fables of total destruction. They've all had fables of something mysterious happening to the people. In some instances, entire nations have just vanished. So it doesn't always have to be a global situation in order for it to be a legitimate changing of the populace in terms of their spiritual evolution. You know, Atlantis is a good thing to focus on because, in all probability, I feel at least, there's an enormous parity between what happened in Atlantis and what's happening here right now. You know,
there were people
there who didn't want to change.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Don, I ran right over you.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We have a bit of a delay. That may happen from time to time. It's not intentional. Yes, I'm inclined to agree with you. With all the technological advancements of that time period, and the one would assume the spiritual wisdom that might have accompanied that technical prowess, why is it, do you think, that that society failed ultimately, that it went into war and destroyed itself? Is that just us repeating in the past what's going on now here in this time? Because certainly we don't learn from those types of mistakes, or maybe they figured out a system that they think is going to now withstand the power of God, stand up and confront the power of God. I think it's a delusion, but nonetheless, do you think that that's where we are, again, just repeating those same mistakes?
Well, you know, there's nothing more deceiving or self-deluding, might even be a better word, in human experience than the arrogance of pride that comes with pride. And, you know, these people have basically controlled the planet for several thousand years now. They have skimmed the wealth and the labor from the general populace by trickery and fraud, and they pat themselves on the back for that. And then they use the ill-gotten gains of that maneuver to increase their hold on the planet and to magnify the extent of their own empires. And nothing seems to stop them. I mean, this has been going on since ancient times, you know, Sumeria and Babylonia, Egypt, and all the way down through the Roman time period. There has always been a controlling group that seems to do the same thing, irregardless of the change of guard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been going on for a very long time. And so since nothing seems to stop them or divert their plans, they begin to feel very godlike. And it's an illusion, just like the illusions that they propagate upon us.
Mm-hmm. If I can just say in retrospect, in regard to what you just commented on, if they've failed all these times, and if it's taken so long to get to the stage it is at right now, it doesn't seem like such a brilliant idea that it takes thousands and thousands of years for this to occur, only to end in failure each time. They've not succeeded yet.
Well, don't forget, though, there's more to it than meets the eye, because if you could track the influx of souls to this planet in that time period, you realize that not all of them remain earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of them actually evolve over the time periods and move on to higher worlds and higher planes of existence. And so then the Morphodites that remain behind say, hey, you know what, we can try the same thing. And so it's just it becomes a self-perpetuating fad to try and become the gods of this planet at the mm-hmm. expense of the less evolved beneath them, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of like an orgy of the false self, you know, this pursuit of that climax that it's some impossible goal has been reached. It's so out of line with the creation, and of course it's evil or its negative polarity is a prerequisite for life to exist in a three-dimensional world with all the dichotomies that exist. And you and I have talked about those many times. The simple hot versus cold, big versus small, long versus short, and tall versus short, and perpetual and dead.
Transitory.
Yes, or transitory. Yes, I mean, there are all these different conditions, and we're talking about the difference between truth and the attempt to disregard the truth and violate the truth. And use all the methods which are dichotomous to the source of the truth. You know, I was telling someone recently that the Creator, in His love for Himself and for all that He might create, put love and truth into everything that exists on one basis or another. It's not really making a judgment, this is evil or this is negative, but it's how it's used. And the choices that are made, and we as souls have been given a choice to make that ultimate choice. Are we going to choose good or are we going to choose evil? And how are we going to act out our lives, this experience of life? What is our pursuit based upon? The truth or the opposite of the truth? And if it isn't of the truth, then it can only be a lie or an illusion, masquerading as the truth. It can't be both. And so that's the essence of what we're going to be talking about. I just wanted to make that comment that there is a way to explain this in the ultimate sense. And I think the manifestation of these energies and these beings, you think of the souls, you think in a galaxy that has about a trillion planets, that there would be less than or just slightly more than 6.7 billion souls? I think not. I think there would be multiple trillions of souls beyond the numbers of those planets. And they're all busy doing something. Down here, it doesn't seem like they're real busy doing anything but pursuing personal gratification and self-pleasure and self-worship. I think that's the general consensus of most that see the problems of the world.
Well, you're right, but there's also the exceptions, though, which we can't ignore because that's really the focus of tonight's show.
Yes, and, of course. Yeah.
A good example, in my opinion, of a server, and of course this is going to sound redundant to anybody who's listened to us before, but I'm not about to change my colors at this point, Nikola Tesla. I mean, there's no two ways about it. This is an advanced being. Comes here and single-handedly changes the entire planet. Not too many people do that. You know, he was obviously plugged into an incredible source of information, which probably came from a previous incarnation in a much higher world, and he brought as much of it with him as he could. But now here's the part that's interesting. He was obviously working for the good of mankind. He didn't like the idea of war. He tried his best to come up with systems that would obsolete war. He came up with new sources of energy and all manner of worthwhile inventions to make the burden of mankind diminish, in the hopes that they would then turn their energies towards higher pursuits of culture. But he didn't get to fulfill his total agenda. Why? Because the minute that they saw that he had his fingers in some really unusual pies, the subhuman aspect that we've already been talking about swooped down, did their best to take control of the information that he was attempting to manifest on this plane, and immediately turned it into a money-making situation and a mechanism for enslaving the people. So, you know, all of the brilliance that he brought with him, almost it was passed through a filter, you might say, a filter of degradation and perversion, and wound up being utilized by those type people in various ways to subjugate humanity rather than to free it.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at what did they do with radio? What have they done with television? What have they done with the electricity in general? I mean, there could be so many things done to utilize these forces and these capacities for the betterment of humanity, but you notice that that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have a volunteer, an angel from another world, to come here with the ability to help convert this into a paradise, you have all the snakes and spiders hiding in the underbrush just waiting to pounce on those goodies and convert them into something negative. And he's only one of thousands. God only knows how many Teslas have been here or how many are here now. And I assure you, they're all going through the same rigmarole.
Yes. It certainly, what you described, you know, we could throw the wireless in there, and I'm not by any means saying you left things out. It seems like everything that Tesla developed was either repressed or weaponized. And there's, I really can't think of, other than the fact that we do have alternating current, I can't think of any other of his inventions that have been used really to benefit mankind. And intentionally, they put this back door into all this technology that they can turn around and use it against us if they're not currently doing so. It's set up to throw the switch, so to speak, turn on one more breaker that is going to allow them to take over. Now, that's their plan. That doesn't by any means mean that that's actually going to occur. And so, yes, I agree with you. The fact that they had to murder Tesla to get their hands on his research shows how sick and perverted these people were. That this technology that he invented for mankind's benefit was kept from mankind. That's quite obvious how perverse it is. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing is that there was a whole other branch of Tesla-type investigations that he collaborated with other people to produce. I can't remember the name of the guy, but there was a gentleman who was an MD and was extremely interested in electromedicine.
And, William F. Koch.
That might have been the guy. And and he had a company that produced the violet ray devices. Tesla designed both the discharge lamps and also the high-frequency apparatus, and they were affecting all kinds of wonderful health situations. And that entire scenario of electromedicine was so-called debunked and suppressed by rich families like the Rockefellers and others who had just, in that same time period, made massive investments in the pharmaceutical industry. And they said, well, we don't need this. There's no way we're going to have this develop when we can have thousands and thousands of percent profit on these cheap, useless little pills that we can get people hooked on. And so there's a perfect example of how an enormous benefit that could have come down to humanity was literally switched out of existence by people who control history.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I don't watch much TV, and I wanted to get a grip on what was being reported as important news. And I got to hear a CNN story about this pandemic that's developing, and now they have to start vaccinating all the kids because they're going to school. Well, what does school have to do with the pandemic? I mean, if there's a pandemic, they can get it at home. They can get it out in the mall, in the street. They weren't lined up in the mall to get these kids during the summer. They want to wait the day they go to school and do this, you see. They want to take over with all this. Well, that was on most of the channels, the same story was being told. And I find it very disingenuous that all these lame, pathetic journalists that call themselves field reporters could all gather this data and produce exactly the same show on each of the major networks. Now, on top of that, when I went to a movie channel, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was playing, and it's kind of a comical movie. It's kind of interesting. It portrays the crime, and it's like watching Today, only it's involving train robberies and bank robberies. And in the context of watching it, I felt more like the movie was the drug commercials, and the movie itself was the commercial. There were so many commercials, and they were all about drugs. I mean, these drugs are being invented every 5 minutes. There's a new commercial coming out about these things. And so what you just stated, way back in the time of Tesla, in his heyday, the interest that the Rockefellers had in controlling the drug industries is no different than what we're facing today. In fact, a major worldwide crisis of scandalous proportions is being hatched, literally, not just figuratively, and it's being used just like these commercials on the movie channel. It was ridiculous. The amount of propaganda and definitely the amount of money that's invested in this, how they arrive at prices of $156 compared to a 12-cent cost for producing that medicine, how they can actually sleep at night. Well, we're not even dealing with humans. They probably never sleep. But that's beside the point. I'm just sort of showing you that it doesn't matter when you turn the TV on and look at it. It's nothing but propaganda, spin, and mind control. And so we're not going, that is not a source of the truth. The technology is being used to subjugate mankind. And there are other things out there that will have the opposite effect. So I want to turn it over to you now so you can bring up some of these salient points that you notated from Servers of the Divine Plan.
Well, I'm happy to continue, but let me interject something of my own, if that's okay. You actually spurred me on to this thought with your last little soliloquy, because these drug things are so incredibly out of control, it's almost mind-boggling. You know, in the old days, it was simple things like aspirin or toothpaste or something pretty benign. But nowadays, they have pills for every blessed thing imaginable, and the list of side effects that comes from it is 10 times longer than the list of so-called benefits that comes from it. And, you know, by law, they're supposed to mention all that nonsense, and they do. The thing that blows my mind is people listen to the entire commercial, including all the side effects. I mean, you want to get rid of hemorrhoids, but you don't want to necessarily lose your liver and your eyesight and your hair and grow ingrown toenails and God only knows what else in the process, you know. But that's the kind of nonsense that happens with these things, and people just don't seem to hear anything but the part they want to hear. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, I have a very dear friend that I've known for 32 years. He's an extraordinary human being. He's a pulmonary technician in New York City, and he has been working for various hospitals in the highest capacity of lung problem diagnosis for many, many years. He's a teacher. He operates machines. He's a technician. He fixes them. He programs them. He interprets the results. He's a brilliant guy. Long story short, 7 weeks ago, he was under so much strain with his work and his personal life and all the things that, well, you can imagine what a position like that demands from you, especially in New York. And he started to have problems sleeping. And I'm not going to mention the name of the drug simply because of the fact that I don't think it's legally intelligent to do so. But it's one of the ones that's advertised relentlessly on television to promote, you know, sleep, and you get up in the morning, you feel refreshed, and this and that and the other thing. Well, anyway, he went to see his doctor. The doctor said, well, why don't you try this particular drug? It's well known. It's been around for a long time. There are very few side effects of any significance, and it will probably help you out. He gets on the thing, and for the first couple of weeks, sure enough, he's sleeping better, everything's going fine, and then comes the side effects. And I don't even remember the list of things this guy told me, but he went through so much hell with all of the side effects, starting off with irregular heartbeat, oscillating blood pressure, upset stomach, you know, heartburns, racing heartbeat, you know, just all kinds of things, which he took in stride because he figured that they would go away or whatever. And finally, it got so bad that he had to get off. He just had to get off of it. Then he found that it's very addictive, and it's not so easy to get off of it. And so it took him a couple of months to actually wean himself off of this sleeping pill. And then after having accomplished that, the worst part of the problem manifests itself, and that is that he has begun to go blind. And his vision is now only 15% of what it was in one eye, and I think it's 30% of what it was in the other eye. And he is just totally beside himself. And, you know, this is the kind of nonsense that we're being subjected to, and nobody does anything about it. You know, it's just amazing to me. Now, here's a guy whose entire life may be ruined simply because he trusted in one of these stupid drugs because he couldn't sleep well. He might have been further ahead to down a fifth of brandy.
Or a cup of chamomile tea.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Well, you said he comes from the medical community, so on a certain level he puts a trust in those things that are called aids or medicines. And,
yeah, medicines.
And they have a tendency, from all of my experience, my own research, they have a tendency to mask symptoms. You know, there's a reason why a person isn't falling asleep. And the reason the drug company's there is not the solution. By any means. They're there for their own profit potential, and they're there for whatever complications they can create in the process.
Oh, sure. Because they'll give you another drug to counteract the side effects of the first one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Certainly, there's a certain amount of toxification that has occurred, that his systems are shutting down. And there is recourse, but it's not going to be along the allopathic path. So
yeah, I've already alerted him to that, and of course, he's very concerned because without his vision, he can't perform his function, and therefore has no career, no job.
there should be legal recourse of some sort or another. Especially, he should hold his doctor accountable for the advice he was given. And there should be accountability on the side of the pharmaceutical companies too. You see, they pay those doctors well to push those drugs. It's legalized drug. The drug. The dark side of the drug business, only it's operating under color of law. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I didn't mean to digress from the main subject here, but it was something that you more or less prompted me inadvertently to remember, and I thought I'd get it out there.
Yes, well, you're perfectly allowed to do that, okay? This is a free will radio show.
Well, you know, but that's an interesting point, too, because there's a way to use that to get right back into the meat of the program. The interesting thing is that people like that friend of mine who show exceptional talents and have a passion for their life's work and are very interested in helping humanity and helping people with health problems and things of that sort. He may very well be one of these people we're talking about. Now, the irony of it is that when you immerse yourself in the fields, the low-frequency fields that are associated with this planet and the level of consciousness that's maintained here, you can literally wind up doing yourself a disservice in the sense that you forget, you know, part of the reason why you came here. You become earthbound yourself, and you wind up demoting yourself spiritually simply because you attempted to do a good thing. And I'm sure this goes on. It must go on a lot. Because not everybody that comes here to help realizes the kind of tenacity and toughness that you need to survive here, let alone succeed at the goal that you've decided to attempt. It's got to be a very, very difficult undertaking for one of these beings.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in respect to that, Jim, if I may quickly say that the submission to fear or other types of illusions like that serve the purpose of merely causing one to forget what they came here to do. And I think part of the experience of life is to remember that, especially here. I can't imagine that this level of consciousness could exist outside a realm like this, in the place where the truth resides, or where love resides, and that's the only thing that's there. You can't imagine this, that this is so far removed that it the memory's probably erased from the consciousness of the beings that are there until they direct their attention to observe it on another plane of existence. And so, this is an exciting time in that we are witnessing this playing out, this period, because it appears to have met a pinnacle of or a downswing of the pendulum in terms of a shift that's occurring, that's going to take place regardless of whether or not we would choose it to happen. It's taking place. And I think we're seeing the results of that everywhere. And so the servers, the servers are the ones that are here to help assist in carrying this out.
Absolutely. And the thing that's interesting is I've actually known people that in the course of my own evolution here, or whatever you choose to call it, I have watched them become conscious of their spiritual greatness, let's put it that way. And it's an amazing transition, because once somebody really realizes what it's all about, it's almost like they go through some sort of a booth and come out the other side as a different person. And that exact, well, that's almost like a quantum shift in consciousness. You know, we're trying to just solicit any kind of shift we can manufacture, but some of these people have suddenly become aware of what they're here for. The change is like night and day, and there's a lot of people here that go through that transition. So that's the kind of thing that makes me realize that that there's got to be a large influx of these servers running around. And also, the other thing is that we're coming up on the end of a great year in this cycle that's going to end around 2012. And so the timing is right for this planetary house cleaning that we've been talking about. And I say thank God that that this is happening now, because we're not only talking about an uplifting of the general consciousness, but along with that has to go all of the trimmings and the secondary apparatus that have been designed to hold humanity in that level of consciousness. And one of the biggest things that accomplishes that end is the fiat money system. And you can see that it's in trouble worldwide. And this is one of the things that's going to be thrown out. And before we were talking about the parallels between our present culture and Atlantis. And where are the biggest headquarters of financial control on the planet right now? One of them is certainly New York, and New York is an island, and you just never know if there's going to be a repeat of the kind of cleansing that Atlantis went through. I mean, there's an awful lot of people living on New York, but you know, the laws of karma are not discriminatory. They just do what they were created to do. And
well,
so
yeah,
we could be looking at some enormously sweeping changes. And the problem is that when they come, it's too late to do anything about it. You know, you're just going to might as well sit around and watch it happen, because you know, it's like anything else. Once you allow these forces to be unleashed, you can't put them back where they were before. They just have a mind of their own.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's the city of London, too. Let's not forget that. Because a lot of the covert control, the secret control, is orchestrated out of that area. And I don't mean London, England. I mean the city of London, the financial nexus.
Right. Well, I know there are many different spots around the world, but you know, we don't realize, it's difficult for us to conceive of what type of cleansing could possibly occur that could have global effects. Now, we've talked about some of them in the past, like the sudden shifting of the planetary axis and, the possibility of new ice ages and, you know, 1,500 mile an hour winds and giant tidal waves and all sorts of things. But we really don't know what we're in for. And the most intriguing thing is, in my opinion, is with all these servers and all these worthwhile people that are coming here to do good, how is this cleansing going to be directed? Let's use that word. In such a way that it doesn't also take out the people that that are here to help. It's very mysterious.
Yeah, I would venture to speculate that's a double venture or a double speculation there. I would submit that likely it's going to result in a collapse of the system that has been able to maintain control. Number one, predominantly we are under the illusion that the pursuit of wealth is the path to success, and the failure to acquire wealth is the path to failure. That said, if it's an illusory system, then it cannot survive forever in the ether and maintain its physical form and its physical control in a three-dimensional capacity. It's impossible for that to go on forever. So that would have to be, I think, the first means through which this system would collapse. And certainly at that point, people would begin to see that rhetorical question I asked many times on the show: what would happen if you took all the money off the table? All the money was gone. All of a sudden, no one had any money. Where would the power, the true power, lie in society or in an individual? Where would that be found?
Well, it would be very obviously, it would reside in each individual's ability to make a contribution to the general good, whether he was a shoemaker, a ditch digger, or a carpenter. It would reside within him. And actually, that's where it is now. The only problem is this false system has given the illusion that it's in these ridiculous green certificates.
Yes. Well, of course, that's why I speculated that system would have to fall. That is what they have used as the mechanism for exerting power over others. Everything that you know, every law they create, no matter how insane, that they deem has been violated, results in a financial penalty. We are hit with every kind of financial penalty that can be hit with as a planetary society. They call it taxes. They call it usury. And again, it comes out of this, you know, smoke and mirrors technique of creating the financial mechanism, the medium of exchange, out of thin air. How real can it be? How long can it last? How long can you oppress other beings with that method? And as it's collapsing in their own hands, they certainly can't manage it. And it's collapsing in the sense that the corruption is so deep. It's you mentioned whatever a person can do for good. You know, if they make shoes for a living or they repair shoes for a living, you didn't say whatever they can do for evil. You see, that's the system that we have now. Yeah. That's the system that's going to fall away. That's I just want to expound on what you said.
Well, no, that's perfectly good. But you know, the interesting thing is this entire concept works both ways, because once the veneer is stripped off of this fiat system, and people start to realize that it's got to go out, I imagine there's going to be some type of bartering or some type of mutual exchange system that comes back into play, and these very people that have spent their whole lifetimes learning legal loopholes, embracing the phony money system and all of these things, they're going to be the only people that don't have anything legitimate to contribute in that system. They're going to wind up weeding themselves out by starvation unless they immediately figure out some kind of a different calling that they can use to do to produce a positive contribution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because their talents are going to be totally useless during the period of turmoil that may ensue.
Yes. Well, in our closing moments, you know, I'd like to delve into this more on future shows, and I'm sure you would agree that we could do that. There's the aspect of, you know, us coming to our individual realization. But this literary work, Servers of the Divine Plan, actually hints that there are other forces at work that we are basically going to connect with, okay? And whether you want to call that consciousness or realization or remembering, we could call it a lot of different things. Those are just words. But mankind is being forced to reckon with these things. It's not something that can continue to be ignored, which has been promoted primarily by the media and the mechanisms that control the media. So we are at a crossroads, and really we're staring the potential future or the surmise of mankind dead square in the face, and it's not something that we can deny is there, nor can we run from it. And we have to face it with courage. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's put it this way. What other option is there? You know, if you know that some enormously overpowering event is on its way, what good does it do you to run around like a scared chicken? You might as well face it and take it head on and do what you can to turn it into a positive situation. Because if you don't, you're going to be adding to the chaos. Now, my feeling on the whole issue is that that this purification thing is probably going to come in waves. And hopefully, if mankind responds to the waves of lesser amplitude, like, for instance, the restructuring of the financial system, the restructuring of the legal system, the return to a constitutional republic in this country instead of the farce that we have now, those things are embraced and reconstituted, we may escape the secondary cleansing, which is going to be some kind of catastrophic expression of nature. And I'm hoping that that's the route that mankind will choose. But we have free will, so it's almost impossible to guess which way it's going to go. The only thing we do know is there's going to be a lot of negative resistance from the entrenched maggots that are running the show now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they are going to end up having to confront the consequences of their creation on a much higher scale. They've put themselves up on this plateau, so to speak, and they may rightfully feel that they are on that plateau, and yet they have earned themselves a confrontation of a higher order as a result of that, for their abuse of natural law, for example. That's just one instance, but pretty much everything they do is based on violating God's laws and universal law. It's a disdain for the truth. It's a disdain for what is good, or a disdain for what might be sacred. And they've turned to create their own devices, which they consider sacred, and they certainly look at our presence here as an interference with what they want to do. So obviously there's some part of creation over which they have no original control, isn't there? If they were so capable of creating a perfect world, they could have excluded us, could they not?
Well, yeah, but you see, therein lies the problem, because you can't have a slave planet without slaves. And if the elite really look down upon the rest of us to the point where they don't want us here, then who's going to do their bidding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those really weird situations where it has become symbiotic to a certain extent, but it's actually a very unhealthy relationship. And so
Yes. It's
got to go.
Yes, well, the word is that the usurper in office, otherwise referred to as the long-legged Mac Daddy, is on vacation at Camp David. And when I heard that, I was wondering, why they named it Camp David. I mean, I'm sure there must be some historical significance, but why didn't they name it Camp Goliath, for example? You know, why the name? And why go to a military camp for a vacation? Is it really that fantastic of a place? Can one really relax there? Or is that where one plots their future takeover of this nation and the world? Lord knows what might be going on there. Wouldn't you like to be a fly in the wall?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's another possibility too, you know. Maybe there are things going on that makes him a little bit jumpy, and he wants to bask in the security of howitzers, missiles, and Minutemen.
Very profound point. Well, Jim Murray, I want to thank you. We're out of time. Our engineer's got to move on to new ventures. And I want to thank you for being on the show. And look forward. Can we continue this conversation next week?
Absolutely. What I will do is I will read further into the article, make additional notes, and we'll have a lot more to talk about.
Okay, very good. Well, I want to wish you a great weekend and look forward to next week's show on Evident Footprints. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com as well as BlogTalkRadio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and I hear satellite. People are also picking up the show in their cars. Great news. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound. And before I say good night to you, I want you to be sure to tune in this coming Monday when my special guest again will be Dr. A. True Ott. We've got some more revelations to bring forth in regard to this vaccination program and the reality or the ruse of this influenza pandemic being forced down everyone's throat. In the meantime, I thank you and the listening audience for tuning in, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.